the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You reign over all. And Lord, oh God, we just want to say thank you for your mercies, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for your word of life that transforms us. Thank you, Lord, that our minds have been renewed, oh God, so that we align with you in every aspect of our living. So, Father, oh God, that our testimony, oh God, will be that you are an awesome God, that the testimony of those around us will be, if it were not for God, only God could have done this. Father, use our lives to be a testimony on a daily basis. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that your awesomeness has been manifested in us as your majesty is, oh God, made known. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At your name, every knee bows and every tongue must confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ, our Sovereign Lord, forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want to thank God for every one of you here tonight, for the privilege once again to share the word of God with you. Before I go into the passage of scripture that I want to share from tonight with you, I want to reference a particular scripture that we need to be conversant of as God's people. And let me pick it up and read it to you. I may or may not make any comments about it, but I think it is appropriate because this particular verse, applied properly, will effect change in every aspect of our lives. It says here in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the 6th verse. That's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, one God, say it with me, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That's powerful. One God. And Father of all. He's the Father of all. Who is above all. And through all. And in you all. You know what that means? It means a whole load of stuff. It means that there's one God. And he's the Father of all of us. That means we must be family. You think so? If he's the Father of all, then we must be family. Say, we are family. Say it again, we are family. Who is above all? That means that he is above all. He's above everybody. And everybody is subject to him. That means he has the final word. Amen? God has a final word about your life. Not any man, not any woman, not any devil in hell, not any drug addiction or any kind of addiction, nothing else is above you. Only God. Hallelujah. And he is through all. Oh, I like that one. Through all. If he's through all. You know, does anybody have a bracelet made out of beads here? Nobody? Okay. Oh, she has one. Yep. Okay, it's close enough. Okay? These are beads. And there is a thread, most likely, and it goes through all. And so, it causes all of them to become one. Hello? Through all. The same God that's coming through me is going through you. And going through you, 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 through every one of us. God. Say, God is flowing in me and through me. And then he says, and in you all. So not only is he going through us, he abides in us. Praise the Lord. Say, God is in me. Therefore, I have liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? Say with me, I am in a state of divine unity because God is flowing in me and through me, to you and through you. He is not stopping. He forms full circuit. And where God's Spirit is, there is liberty. Therefore, because I'm free, you are free. Hello? You got that? You don't sound like you got that. You're looking at me. What are you talking about? If God, who is freedom, is flowing through me, he's the same God of freedom flowing through you. So what I got, you got. And what you've got, that's of God, I got. The thing is about God is that God does not share spaces. He's God, and he's above all. Therefore, everything that is not of God cannot stay in me and cannot stay in you. Hello? If it's not of God, it cannot abide here. Do you receive that word? I want you to not just believe it, I want you to know that. Because when I know that, I will act differently towards you. I will treat you right because I am dealing with God. I know that when we come into agreement, power is released. So today, have this settled. This is for somebody. I have what I need to live life to the full. Say it with me. I have what I need to live life to the full. I have God in me, working through me. Therefore, I have everything I need to live life to the full. I got God. I got you. I got you. So if, since I have you, I have everything I need to accomplish everything I need to accomplish. Because God is flowing through you. God's flowing through me. God's working in all of us. And God will be glorified. Praise the Lord. Got it? All right. Come with me to Matthew. We can just go home just for that. We got enough already. Praise the Lord. That's my 5-minute preaching. Okay, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were and hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known this, what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the what? The what? The what? Guiltless. What those Pharisees were saying were that they were guilty because they ate corn on the Sabbath day because they worked. The act of breaking that ear of corn from the plant was work. They shouldn't have done that. But the Bible says they were hungry. They were hungry. And God understood, the guys are hungry. They got to eat. Now, is Jesus God? He knew they were hungry. And he takes them by the place where the food that they need to eat was. Is God trying to tempt them? Why is he bringing them by the food? And he knows they're going to pluck it. And they're going to start eating it. This is how God thinks. God puts things in place for a reason. The reason was for the people to learn the power of rest and trusting God. The Sabbath was about rest, trusting God, working, but having a day of rest because you understand that, hey, God provides. And so not only on the seventh day were people called to rest, every seventh year piled together, meaning the 49th year, started the year of Jubilee. So the 49th year and the 50th year, they were supposed to do absolutely nothing, harvesting anything. And during those years, God provided for them, set them free from all kinds of indebtedness, broke them free from every kind of limitation, and the idea was rest, rest, rest. So the Sabbath was for rest. That's the purpose. The Sabbath was not supposed to be the day of worship just because we have to worship God on a Sabbath day. Every day is a day of worship. Every day is a day of worship. But the one thing God wants you and I to do is rest. Trust God. Actually, the children of Israel were sent into exile because they did not allow the land to rest. And for every day, every year that they did not allow that land to rest, they were sent into exile so that the land could rest. God is very interested in you just trusting Him. That's the most important thing. Trust Him in every situation. And here were His disciples following Him. They were trusting Him. And He says, you've not learned this, what it means when God says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. This is not about rules and regulations. You have to find out, why is God saying what God said? He has a reason for everything He does. And when you try to grasp what God is trying to communicate to you, you don't live in a world of rules and regulations, because rules and regulations can be binding. But when you understand why, then it's not a problem. It's not a problem for me to go drive on the right side of the road. Forget about the rules. If everybody starts driving any which way they want, we're going to have serious accidents and a lot of people are going to get hurt. So when the government says, here we drive on the right side of the road, I obey it. And I don't think about it as a rule. It was for my benefit. But if I don't understand it, and I come from Britain or from Trinidad, and they drive on the left side of the road there, I come here, and I start driving on the left side of the road. And guess what's going to happen? Whammo. Oops. Somebody's dead. But when I understand why, I do it. Today is the 8th of March is the second Sunday of the month, and today we skipped 1 hour ahead. That meant that I lost 1 hour of sleep. Now, that's what they do here in Canada. In Nigeria, we don't skip 1 hour forward or 1 hour backward, so it doesn't make any sense there. But over here, if I want to keep on time, when this day shows up, I have to move that time clock up. It is for my benefit, and because I know that, I do it. If they decide that they're not going to do that anymore, voila, we're okay. Any which way. I wonder what is going to happen to science if they do that. They'll figure that out. But I get my extra hour of sleep and nobody changes it. Why did they do it? Daylight savings. Because they skipped 1 hour. When I showed up, when I got out of my house around 6:30 to start coming to church, it was still bright outside. Because we skipped 1 hour forward, daylight. Now that I understand, oh, they're trying to save daylight. Okay, wait. Daylight for what? If I understand the reason behind it, why somebody had the crazy idea, then it becomes less of a problem. If I don't understand, it becomes an issue. If God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, I need to figure out that out. Why did God say that? Why does God not like abortions? Because I could have been the aborted one. So, life is precious. My life is precious. Your life is precious. God says, don't kill. I understand why. Because if I kill you, you're dead. I can kill anybody. Okay. Why? Figure it out. I understand it. I make sure that I don't get into a situation where I get into a fight and somebody ends up dead. When you understand why God said something, it's not a problem. You cool down your temper. I was in the Congo many years ago, in the city of Kinshasa. And it's this wide road, and there was a center barricade that separated both sides of the street. And you had people running across the street, just running across the street, and they jump over these barricades, and then they have to run across another 4 or 5 lanes. And as we're coming, the Lord says to me, he says, consequences. When you get to Winnipeg, I want you to preach about consequences. I said, why are you asking me to preach about consequences? He says, you see, all they needed to do is wait a few moments and they can cross very easily. They're running across, and if they tripped, the car coming might not be able to stop, and that life will be gone because you did not stop to think about consequences. So I said, interesting. So I got on the plane, got to a particular city, and we're making a shift in terms of planes. And the plane was delayed quite a long while, about 6-7 hours. We finally got on the plane, and in front of me, with this couple, sitting, chatting, having a nice discuss. And here comes a man, comes and sits by me. And he says to the woman, he says, I hope you're not going to start chatting and talking all through this flight like you were doing in the lounge. Oh, my. Oh, my. The husband is sitting by her, and the husband flares up. So I'm trying to do peacemaker. Calm down, please. Calm down. The Lord says, watch about consequences. He says, watch. I told you to preach about consequences. See what consequences are going to happen here. So I'm trying to calm this guy down. I'm calming this guy. This guy starts apologizing. I'm so sorry. I'm so tired, blah, 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 blah. But the husband will not keep cool, will not pipe down, and he's at it. The hostess has come, they try to talk to him, he's still at it. He's talking, I'm gonna beat you up, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna this. I said, guys, calm down, calm down. The captain, the pilot comes in and says, hey, guy, cool it. He won't cool down. He finally pipes down and he turns around and he says, get on in the air, I am going to beat you up. He whispered it. And just as he did that, here comes the cops. Right into the plane, grab this guy, and they haul his behind out with the other one that was fighting, with the lady, because she's saying, when we get to Toronto, my dad is the chief of police, and you're going to be in serious trouble. I'm thinking, look at you, your father's chief of police, you're going to forget that, calm down. They're not coming down. Now all of them were out, never to fly again, and they are way out. Way out. I'm thinking, how are these people going to get home? How are they going to get home? We're so far away. Now, not only have they lost the ability to fly that particular flight, they've lost the ability to fly, period. Period. Consequences. Many times you don't think about consequences. But when you understand the consequence of your action, you pipe down. So, this guy said something crazy. He shouldn't have said it, but I'm not about to get into this fight and mess up my whole travel itinerary and stuff like that. Forget that. I'm not going to get involved with that thing. You think. Too many people don't think. If I do this, this might happen. And that might happen. And when you don't think in terms of consequences, you act crazy and you lose out. But when you understand consequences, then it's not about that anymore. When I go out to fly and they say, take off your shoes and take off your belt and take off your this and take off... I take it off because I know the reason this happened is because of what happened. Hello? Now it's not any longer a problem. I'm not going to start fighting with the TSA guys and say, why should I take off my shoes? And why should I take off my jacket? Who told you this? And blah, 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 blah. Oh, you're not getting on that flight. But if I know why they're asking me to do what they're asking me to do, it's okay. It's not a problem. Do you understand why God said, don't do this, and why God said, don't do that? Because when you understand why, it's no longer a problem. But many times, we don't think about that. We don't think about consequences. We don't think about why God may have said something. And then becomes a burden, and rebellious us, we start going against what God said. It says, God is a God of mercy. It's not about just sacrifice. He says, you would not have condemned the guiltless. There's no guilt here. They rested on me. They're following me. The issue is not eating or cooking or whatever or walking so long. It's about restricting everything so that you don't put your trust in yourself, but in God. Say, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? If your animal fell inside a pit, you're going to say, well, it's a Sabbath day, I'm not going to get it out. Of course not. You do. You do whatever it is that you need to do to get that animal out of that pit. So you believe in the Sabbath, but you are willing to do that work to get that animal out of that place. Don't you understand that if you say no work can be done on the Sabbath day, that on the Sabbath day, I cannot answer your prayer either? Because God rested from all his works. So I'm resting today. Today is Saturday, or today is Sunday. I don't answer any prayers on Sunday. It's my chilling out time. You think that that animal should be saved. So you do everything that you need to do to help it not struggle. Not struggle and be in pain. I'm the same. I'm here to make sure that life is easy for you. That you don't have to struggle. That you come to a rest. So, here they are. Let's see what he's going to do on the Sabbath day. Is he going to heal somebody on the Sabbath day? Verse 13. He says, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on Sabbath days. It's a good thing to do the right thing on Sabbath day, because the man is more than the sheep. Then said he to the man, believe it's in Mark, it says, he called the man into the midst, right to the center. And he says, stretch forth thine hand. There's much to learn here. He says what? Stretch forth thine hand. Did he say stretch out the good hand or the bad hand? Neither. Just stretch forth your hand. Now what do? You're out there and he says stretch forth your hand, which is easier to stretch out. The good hand. The good hand. Stretch out your hand. Good hand. But the man stretches out what? The bad hand. The withered hand. That's the one. When God asks you to do something, he has a reason for it. That's your opportunity. He didn't say stretch out the good hand or the bad hand. Just say stretch out your hand. Hey, you got a bad hand that needs to be stretched out, that's not been stretched out before. Stretch that one. Seize the opportunity. Captivate the time. Capture it and benefit from it. Didn't say good hand or bad hand. You just say stretch forth your hand. So I'm stretching it out. Bang. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Withered hand. Going through life. One hand is good, and the other can't move. Restricted. If God says, I want to free people from indebtedness. And there you are. What do you do? Stay in pride and arrogance. I'm good. I'm driving a nice car and I have a nice house and my children are in school and so on and so forth. And you are up to your neck and above in debt. What do you do? Pretend that you're okay? Because what people see is that you're okay. That's a hand that is good, everything is in place. But the other hand that is controlled by MasterCard and Visa and American Express and Discovery Card, we're not gonna show nobody that we got any issues. Because I gotta have my mask on. And pretend that everything is okay. And God is giving an opportunity. Do you want your problem solved? Yeah. Okay, receive your miracle. I receive it by faith. I thank God for my miracle. I thank God for my breakthrough. I thank God for change in my circumstances. I thank God. God wants us to be real. And so when he asked this man to stretch forth his hand, he was positioning him to be real. God wants you and I to be real with the things that we face and not pretend. Man stretched forth that hand and it was restored whole, like as the other. Do you have a withered hand tonight that needs to be healed? Just maybe the Lord is speaking to every one of us and saying to us today, stretch out your hand. That's all he's saying. He said, Lord, I stretch it out. I declare that I'm healed from this infirmity. I declare that my marriage is whole. I declare that my children are doing the right thing. I declare, I stretch out the hand. I stretch out the hand. I stretch it out. I stretch it out. My marriage is perfect. I stretch it out. I do not rely on my defeated mindset and the struggles that I'm going through. I stretch out my hand and I say something different. That's all God wants from you and I. Speak something different. Do something different. He's here to heal us. He's here to restore us. He's here to turn things around in our lives. And if we let him, he will prove himself as God, Lord over all, Father over all. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And let me wrap up with the next few verses, and then we'll pray. It says, and Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. He just healed the man that had a withered hand. And all they could do is plan on how they're going to destroy him. When people are evil, they are evil, period. And may I say something? Don't waste your time arguing stuff with people that are already convinced in themselves that what they are doing is right when they are absolutely wrong. You're not going to convince them. It played out this last few months or years, watching what's happening down south. It didn't matter what anybody said. This man is evil, and everything he does is evil. And what he might be evil, but you listen to what is happening, and you can say, okay, there's an answer to what you just said, but they will not listen to the answer. Because when people are set in their minds to do evil, they are set in their minds. Forget about trying to convince them. When people are hardened in their hearts, they are hardened. That's what causes churches to split for the craziest reasons. Try to talk to them and try to bring harmony. Waste of time. If their heart is set to do the wrong thing, it's going to be that way. Same thing with marriages, any kind of relationship. Why you guys? Why is this marriage falling apart? Well, he snores too much. Find another room. Sleep in another bed. And when you need to come together, come together. That time he's not going to be snoring. Find a solution. Well, oh no. You start fighting, not thinking about consequences. You're setting your ways, trying to do crazy things and trying to make sense of it. And it doesn't matter what happens. I remember many years ago, I don't know why I'm going to tell you this story now. It's not a very nice story. But it illustrates this point. I had a pastor pastoring here, brought him in and taking care of him, even at our expense. You know, we will pay his wages, cover his resources, and left ourselves unpaid. We're following the instruction of the Lord. The Lord said, bring this guy in. So we brought him in. He was struggling. His church was struggling. His congregation, some of them came with him, and they were part of this work. And there was a sister that was attending here that lived very close by here. She had cancer. She was very sick. And the Lord started healing her. She's getting better and better and getting real strong, becoming more or less cancer-free. I believe she was cancer-free. And all of a sudden, one day, we noticed this sister was not coming to church. Why is she not coming to church? She kept on missing services. And finally, she came one time, and she was so weak, and something is going wrong here. We've gone to our house, we've prayed for her, but nothing was changing. How is this person, you know, going down like this? Separated themselves from the body and ended up in the hospital, Seven Oaks. So we went to visit. Mama and I went to visit this lady. We prayed for her. And as we're about to leave, she says, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I said, what? Well, said, let me say something to you. Okay, where is it? Well, she said, this pastor that's serving with you, I said, yeah, what about him? Well, he came to our house, and he said to me and my mom, this lady was an only child of the mother. He said that I should give, or we should give him our house for his ministry. I said, he said what? Yeah, that's what he said. I wonder why he will say something like that. If he's representing us and what God has called us to do, he shouldn't be going to somebody's house and asking them for their house to be donated to him. I will do something like this. I said, when did this happen? And she told us. And she said, since that thing happened, I became sick again. I've not been able to let it go. The woman was getting well. This guy goes in there, puts the wrong seed into our heart. She gets bitter, and she's now back in square one, full of cancer. And we could not shake that woman out of that situation. She died in that state. The mother, because of that, didn't want us to do anything to minister to her or to her family, or rather to herself. She's old. She signed off that house that he went looking for, signed it off to the next door neighbor. He signed the house, gave it to the next door neighbor, says, you can have the house. Because of that act. Now, why did I tell you that story? Not because of all of that, but because of this. This one point I want to get across to you. Don't push it when people have set their minds on the wrong. Just like these guys. Set their minds on the wrong. And because they did. Even when Jesus healed and restored this man's hand, they went looking for a way to destroy him. Now, of course, the Bible says, you know, when somebody does something off, you should call him and talk with him and deal with stuff. And because this was a minister, we called in some of our leadership and to address this situation. And called somebody that was friendly and connected to them. And we sat down together. And I shared what was happening and said, not because we wanted to separate or anything like that, but to bring healing to the situation. Well, he acknowledged that he did that. Okay. All right. So we need to address the situation, talk to the mother and say, please forgive me for what I did and so on and so forth, and the whole thing will be settled. No, he won't do that. Now, the friend over here links up with the wrong idea, instead of bringing healing to that situation, to them, joins with them in agreement, and poof, everything is messed up. And I'm looking at this situation. Yikes. If I was a real friend, and I don't have any other agenda, I will make certain that this problem is corrected and not bring problems into the body. That's not. I don't know why I told you this story today. But just maybe, somebody is going to face a situation in days to come where you're going to try your hardest to try to do the right thing and think that everybody is going to celebrate the fact that you did the right thing. Let me tell you, when people have another agenda, it won't work. Don't sweat it. Walk away from that situation. Understand there are consequences. Walk away. Be calm. Walk away. Because when people have their mind set on the wrong thing, many times they don't change. It will take God to reach them, to turn that situation around so that you can receive wholeness. If you cannot handle it, let God step into it. Stay in rest. The Sabbath is about what? Resting. Just rest. Don't fight it. Don't go struggling because you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to bring destruction. That's the plan of the enemy, to destroy. Don't be destroyed. Step away. Step away. Let God step in. Let God deal with it. Because when people have a wrong mind and they're hardened, they will even fight God. You can't solve it. Step away. Let God take care of you. Let God take care of the situation. What is important is that man is healed. Whatever else happens, happens. That's why Jesus, many times, did what he did. And today, I want to challenge you to just do the right thing. Focus on the right thing. Don't think that every time somebody's going to come celebrate you because you did the right thing. Just do the right thing and let God take care of the rest. If you don't, consequences. You're going to start saying things that are going to be destructive to your own life. You don't need that headache. Let it be. Walk away. Amen? Just walk away. Just let God. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, you are in control when we let you be in control. And today, oh God, we are asking for you to take full control of every aspect of our lives, that the decisions that we make honor you. Help us know when to step away from issues. Help us to know when we need to take our stand. That our stand must be to do the right thing. Lord Jesus, you knew that the Pharisees were going to attack. They were strategizing on how to attack over and over again. But you saw a man that needed help, and you came back to that synagogue just to make certain that he received his healing. Lord, help us to focus on doing the right thing at all times, and to know when to step away when we need to. Help us, O God, to know what your reason is when you say do something or don't do something. And cause us, O God, to walk in obedience before you, following through, O God, in the spirit of wisdom, truth, knowledge, and understanding. Recognizing, O God, that you have our best interests on your heart. Help us, O God, to understand that when you say, stretch out your hand, that, Lord, O God, that we seize that opportunity to produce and give to you the areas that are problem areas in our lives so that we can receive healing rather than pretend. Everybody else knows that we've got a weed at hand. Yes, they do. They see us and they know what kind of problems we've got. Pretending about it doesn't solve anything. So, Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you grant us the grace to boldly address the areas of concern in our lives. So, Father, oh God, that your grace sufficient might propel us into a life, into a destiny that is graced with supernatural favor. Lord, you meet all of our needs. We commit to you, O God, every area of weakness. We commit to you, O God, every sickness, every disease. We commit to you right now, O God, every financial situation, O God, every area where we hurt and everywhere we're struggling, everywhere, O God, where there are limitations in our lives. Father, we ask, O God, for grace sufficient to bring about total restoration, total restoration. Total restoration. So, Lord, oh God, that every aspect of our lives can be defined as a place of wholeness. I pray for every son and every daughter in this household of faith today, that each one will receive their miracle as they commit to you right now every problem area. God, be God. Be God. Be God in all our lives. Be God in Gap Church, Glory and Peace Church. Be God here. We stretch out to God our withered hand. We stretch it forth and we say, God, you are sufficient. You are the God who makes us whole. We commit to you every family. Whatever their problem is, oh God, bring wholeness. You are the God who wants us to come to rest. Father, we speak rest to God for every family. Every need met, every circumstance addressed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say yes to your word. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your purpose. We say yes, O God, to the destiny that you have for us. We come, O God, into the fruitfulness of your supernatural grace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord.